Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. This entire chapter is about the end of the age. This passage for today advises being ready, because no one knows when that time will come. Waiting for Jesus coming means we watch, we work, and we wait for the hope of the fullness of Christ. Advent reminds us that we must be prepared. Matthew chapter 24. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, when they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and the other one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you as we journey now in wonderment toward the birth of your Son and the coming of Jesus again. Amen. So how do you get ready for God? We talked about how to get ready for Christmas, but how do you get ready for God? Today we begin to prepare ourselves for this celebration of Jesus coming, his birth. And as we prepare, we try not to talk about how many shopping days are left. At least I don't want to talk about it. We try not to frantically review our lists. We try not to gasp as we look at the calendar, but I already did that. Instead, we are given an opportunity to take a deep Advent breath. And believe it or not, ask ourselves, am I ready? Well, I'm going to suggest that we just relax now and understand that Advent is a time when we need some space, we need some quiet, we need some time to reflect, time to focus on the spiritual things of life, and put that business and shopping aside for a while. I have a friend, one of the busiest persons I know. She's unbelievable. She always tries to get her Christmas shopping done before Advent begins so she can settle in and enjoy the reason for the season. For most of us, including myself, it's way too late to go that route. But maybe there are some of you that are like that. And if you are, I admire you. I respect that. I think it's wonderful. But even if we have or haven't begun to think about shopping, we all still need what Advent brings. Taking time in our schedule to sit and reflect, or reflect as we're driving the car, a time of quiet, a time of praying, a time for reading scriptures and lighting candles, to take this huge pause this time of year and ask this question of ourselves, what is the meaning of our lives? What is the meaning of my life? and what is meaningful in my life. Now, I know that's pretty hard for a type A personality that's always got to be busy, or even finds joy in being busy. But it really does mean that all of us need to take that pause and prepare for Christmas. We can prepare for Christmas, but that's not what this passage today is really all about, is it? Matthew speaks of a second advent, a second coming. And what does Jesus say about that? He says in verse 36, but about that day, an hour, no one knows. No one knows anything except that the day is coming when all things will experience consummation. And Jesus' message here is to stay awake. Keep awake, he says. Be ready. In other words, pay attention. Now, this is very prophetic in nature. And this passage calls us to understand more, a little bit more about this prophecy. Calls us to watch for God's presence, to work for God's peace, and to wait for the hope of God's fulfillment. So I want to look at those three things more closely. First, we are called to watch for God's presence, to pay attention. We can easily get lulled into a trance of daily routines of life and accepting things just as they are. If you've ever taken a train ride, you know that that gentle jostling in the train can put you asleep. At least it does me. Or you can gaze out the window and daydream and watch the scenery go by. But our call is to be awake, to look around us, to see the way God is with us now and not to slumber. And in the watching, we remember that Jesus has already come. He's been born. The Holy Spirit is ever present in us that accept Christ. We are in the age of grace. And we don't just watch for some far off coming. We live with God now. And yet there is another coming. And we are to prepare for that too by being in God's presence. So what does it mean to be in God's presence, the holy presence of God? Do we take our shoes off and connect to the earth in bare feet, like in the grass, as we walk on holy ground? Or do we look at the skies and marvel at its clear blue and twinkling stars at night? Or do we see God in the innocence of a newborn baby or in the twinkling eyes of the elderly? Yes, God is in all these places and people. And yet do we stand in awe and fear of his holiness in our personal lives? Not fear like a being afraid, but fear that even the holy angels had, a fear that respects and acknowledges that God alone is sovereign and creator of the universe, that there is something bigger than you and me that gives us meaning in life. So we watch in holy fear for the movement of the Lord our God amongst us. Ann Dillard speaks of attentive walking, in which my left foot, as I lift it, says glory, and my right foot, as I lift it, says amen. Glory. Amen. Let's do that. Come on. Glory. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. Amen. Just as with walking, we can practice being conscious as we walk. The spiritual discipline of paying attention even when we put our feet up and down and we walk. Paying attention to God's holiness anywhere, anytime, all day long. We don't have to necessarily sit down to come into the presence, or kneel, or close our eyes, or stop what we're doing. Eating, doing dishes, sitting in a meeting. We can live in attentive awareness of God's presence everywhere we go and stand in that fearful wonderment. Glory. Amen. When you come into a room, being conscious of that with your feet. When you come into a meeting, being conscious of that with your feet. Now be aware, if you say glory, amen in a restaurant, you might get a few stares. So be prepared. We need times when we pay attention more closely to God's presence within us and around us. When we sit down and really think about that God is with us. God's will for our lives is here. We can know what that is. And for the world where we are called to subdue and to work and be fruitful and multiply. When we ask, what is the meaning of my life? Where do we seek compassion in our suffering and rejoicing in our happiest moments? That's what church is for, really. These questions and more are the reason for the season and why we need Advent, a reminder, a time of quiet waiting and watching and asking our deeper questions, and to pay attention to the signs of His coming among us again. To be in our Bibles every day, not just on Sunday, to seek spiritual guidance when needed, and to have our ears open for what God will be saying and is saying to us. So I would say, be godly watchers in the world that we of the world that we see. And then the next thing is work. We are called to work for peace. Jesus said that two were in the field. Two will be grinding a meal. We work, and as we work, we are ever watchful, but still busy with the tasks at hand. One was paying attention as she worked. The other one wasn't. One was lifted into heaven. The other one was left. Perhaps one was watching as she was working. The other was lulled into the task at hand, or what we call today, asleep at the wheel. Perhaps doing the same old thing and needing a spiritual revitalization. Isaiah's vision of peace, of a peaceful world, calls us to work for peace, even as we know it can never be completely fulfilled until God makes it so. There is plenty of peacemaking work to do. And lots of we can do as we struggle with divisive issues in our world today. We can pray for peace, but it's up to us to work toward it, to demand it in our daily lives, to demand it in our nation, among polarized groups who can't seem to progress in their relationships with one another, perhaps even in families, not just in the country, in churches. We always find plenty of peacemaking work to do in the world, don't we? It's there. Dozens of places around the globe and here at home. And to demand it in our church and in the church universal as we struggle to reconcile our differences in doctrine and religious beliefs. Human need transcends all those things. What is the human need? We need to be validated. We need love to be validated. The need to be in the world and anchored to God. So while we are called to watch, we are not called to sit down, twiddle our thumbs, look at our watches, and wait till Jesus comes. Or look out the train window and watch the scenery go by. Advent hope is a calling to work, to speak God's word with the authority that is given to us, the church, and to worship Him with thanksgiving in our hearts in the midst of all we see, all that we see in the world. And then finally, we are called to wait. As we watch, and as we work, we wait in hope. It's an active waiting. What are we waiting for? We wait for the emergence of Christ in our relationships today and the second coming of Jesus Christ in a day that we don't know yet. For the age of law in the Old Testament and the age of grace in the New Testament that we live in right now, to the full consummation of both the Old and the New Testament understanding that we are living in, when Christ will come again and the lion will lie down with the lamb. For this is what we hope for. Amen? Yeah. We watch, we work, we wait. For in the watching is God's presence. In the work, we are given strength to work for peace. And in waiting, we find hope that all things will be fulfilled in God's timing. The world doesn't look very peaceful today, does it? Not at all. And it doesn't look very hopeful to many of us. And we cry out, where's the peace? And we lose hope. And many of us are suffering with physically and emotionally and spiritually and financially. So many people are losing their homes because they can't afford them now. And I can't tell you how many people come to me every day and say, Pastor, I'm losing hope. If that describes you, I have a word for you. Allow your frustrations to lead you to the hope you seek, and not be lulled asleep because you're frustrated. Only God can bring order out of disorder. Only God can bring joy out of despair, even as we do our part. The devil, Satan, would want us to be asleep at the wheel, would want us hopeless, and not to remember that God has already won this battle. Satan doesn't want us to look to the scripture. Satan doesn't want us to look to God within the light. Doesn't want us to have this holy fear for God and to be amazed. Doesn't want us to work for peace. Wants us divided. Doesn't want us to be healthy and happy, but wants to rob your hope. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert, be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Václav Havel, the first post-communist president in Czechoslovakia, wrote about hope in the 1980s, while his country was still under communism. And this is what he said. Either we have hope within us or we don't. It's a dimension of the soul. Hope in this deep and powerful sense is an ability to work for something because it is good, not because it stands a chance to succeed. It is also this hope, above all, which gives us the strength to live and continually try new things, even in conditions that seem as hopeless as ours does here and now. Don't lose hope. In this Advent season, chances are that many of us are going to face something that feels hopeless. If we look at our circumstances and the people around us, I want to encourage all of us in the words of King David in Psalm 40, to find hope that God is bigger. God is with us. God is for us. He has already won the battle of good and evil. So during troubled times, David says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. Let's say it together. Great is the Lord. Hope is grounded in knowing that Jesus Christ came for us, died and rose again, and is coming again. God has proven that God is faithful in His word and will prove it again. For here is the promise that even Isaiah points to. About that day and hour, no one knows. But when it comes, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Great is the Lord. Amen.